Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday and welcome to the Rangers Review morning briefing for Friday the 24th of March. I'm Derek Clark and I'm delighted to say we're joined on this Friday morning by Adam Thornton. How are we doing, Adam?
I'm good, thank you, Derek. How are you?
Absolutely sensational that you're on. It's always a pleasure to talk all things Rangers with you. Before we do that, folks, just a bit of housekeeping. There's a lot to make you aware of today before we talk all things Rangers. First of all, you can see the ticker below. We've got that great offer on the website just now, just £1 for 3 months worth of content. Not only that, you get entered into a draw for 2 tickets for the director's box, no less, for the match against Dundee United on the 1st of April. You'll enter through the magnificent main entrance, up the marble staircase and into the Blue Room for pre- and post-match hospitality, and you'll get the best seats in the house as well. Just head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe to sign up, but be quick because that offer ends. Well, the offer doesn't end, but the chance to win the 2 tickets ends at 5 o'clock this evening. So you've got until 5 if you want to be in with a chance of getting those tickets. A quick word for our podcast sponsor, Seneca Hair Restoration.
The number Are they still going on? Are they still going on? I'm thinking this. Fuck's sake. Abuse.
The number one hair transplant corporation in Europe. These are the top dogs if you want to get new hair on top of your cranium, folks, and maybe restore some lost self-confidence. I've still got my confidence intact, just Adam. I'm not sure about you, but it's not something I'm thinking about. But but yeah, folks, go and check them out. I've pinged the links in, as always, in the description box. And now the Seneca guys have actually given us a ticket to the Scotland game against Cyprus to give away to one lucky recipient who poses the best question of the show. So if you put your question in and it catches myself and Adam's eye, then you could be in with a chance of going to Hampden for that Scotland v Cyprus game tomorrow. So we have one ticket to give away. So just to make you aware of that, if the best question wins. Right, let's talk Rangers, Adam. I wanted to touch on Fashion Sakala. He was starring for Zambia yesterday, scored an absolute belter of a goal against Lesotho in the African AFCON qualifiers or something like that, African Cup of Nations. The pitch looked it looked bare as, but great goal from Fashion. And there's a piece on the website this morning from Joshua just looking at how he's improved under Michael Beale. Of course, he was brought in when Michael Beale was a coach under Steven Gerrard back in the summer of 2021. It never quite happened for him under Giovanni van Bronckhorst, but since Beale has returned to the club, his numbers have skyrocketed. He's had 12 goal involvement, 6 goals and 6 assists and 16 starts and 2 substitute appearances under the new manager. And away from home, he's had 9 goal involvements in 8 league away trips. He's really come into his own, hasn't he, Adam, under Michael Beale, particularly away from home. I think he's possibly Rangers' most threatening outlet up top at the moment. It's been a remarkable turnaround for him. He wasn't really getting a look in under Giovanni van Bronckhorst, but he's just had a new lease of life under Michael Beale.
Yeah, the away stats don't really surprise me. Obviously, teams are going to come out more and they'll get more space, etc. That kind of scans to his skill set. I always remember that summer 2021 when he joined, and I think it was Ross Wilson, might have been the manager, said we wanted to add more pace and more physicality, and that was Sakala and Lundstrom. And I think you see that. The big thing I think Michael Beale has done is played him regularly. He's always one of those players, and I include Cedric Eaton in that as well, that you never thought they were going to get a run in the team. Now, you could argue that possibly the only reason Sakala was getting a run in the team was due to injuries, due to the circumstances, due to poor recruitment in the summer. But regardless, how you take your chance, I think, is key. We look at Nathan Patterson. He got a chance because James Tavernier got injured. Sometimes that happens in football. You have to take advantage of your moment, and he's certainly done that. People still have a really hard time with him, I think, sometimes in terms of, because he can fall over the ball once and at 1 minute and then stick one in the top corner the other minute. But you have to say, 16 games and 12 goals and assists. He's the most consistent ever. The most consistent this season, I should say, sorry. There will be obviously quite a lot of things that you can point to in terms of rougher parts of his game, but I think sometimes you have to embrace the chaos because that number of goals is just ridiculous. The big interesting thing, I think, for me is moving forward into the summer. Do we think he should, if we want to be successful, do we think Fashion Sakala plays up front for Rangers every single week next year? Or what's the plan there? Because coming off the bench, etc., playing every few weeks or so didn't seem to suit him. So it's one of those interesting ones for the summer to see just what happens. But he's been fantastic over the 3 months or so.
Yeah, he certainly has. George says Sakala is a breath of fresh air at the moment. I totally agree, George. Especially, as I mentioned, away from home, he certainly does the business. Scored that header, an orthodox header, you could say, at Fir Park last weekend. And going forward as well, Adam, I mean, his position up front, it doesn't work as a lone striker. We all know that. But I know Michael Beale has touched on looking to play a back three. Would that perhaps suit Sakala, do you think, if they play a front two? Or how does he fit into that system, do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting one again, because back to goal, I don't think he's fantastic. I don't think it's his strong point. However, it really depends on the partner, I guess, who it's going to be. If it is someone like Morelos who kind of wants to drop deep, that maybe suits him a little bit. If it's Čolak, maybe not as much. Ideally, you want someone who can come and make space and then sort of slot those balls through for Sakala to go and run into. So I think it would really be more... I can see a value in Sakala, absolutely, but it would really be more who's going to partner him and who's going to play with him to get the best out of him, and whether that combination is then the best that we've got. But certainly, I think 3-5-2 would be fine, provided we get enough space and provided we get the balls through to him for him to run onto, or for him to face up to defenders facing the goal and take them by that way.
Yeah, lots of questions coming in. Just touched on the Scotland game. Kev Armstrong says, if you win the ticket to the Scotland game, do you need to go? You don't need to go, Kev. Absolutely not. But yeah,
I was expecting there just to be no questions, to be honest.
There was a question as well. SH says, is the ticket for the Cyprus game would be interested? I believe it is in the Scotland edit, and so yeah, if you're interested in going, folks, there's a few questions that have been posted. Xander Staff, a good friend that you'll know, Adam, says, reject modernity, kick Adam out, he's not a fan of your modern language. And Tim Sherwood wouldn't be a fan as well. I've seen him in Talk Sport bumping his gums about half spaces and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, Xander and Tim can be kindred spirits. That's fine with me.
Yeah. Brucey Fraser with a top question. He says, question, who has a better hair, Cantwell or Joshua?
Ooh, that's a
toughie.
That question's a winner, surely. Yeah. I'm going to go Joshua. Joshua's is always slick. I've seen Cantwell's little bit woolly, I would say. And he doesn't need a hairband. Joshua is just getting natural, whatever it is, bounce back ability. I'm going to go Joshua.
Yeah, top stuff. Right, let's get to some slightly more serious questions that are popping in here. Some interesting ones, just touching on Sakala. James McLean says, play Sakala on the left and he beats Kent's numbers all day long. You're nodding there, Adam. Does he?
In terms of goals and assists, I think certainly in terms of goals. I think that's not up for debate. Yeah. However, those debates that we've been having about Kent for the last 12 to 18 months. I think Michael Beale said it a couple of weeks ago. I think Josh had an article out about it as well, that how Kent draws people to him and he runs the game. I think that was after Hibs. Lee Johnson said that he runs the game in that way. If you come out of it and you think he never scored a goal or assist, I've said for a few years, I think you're completely misunderstanding Kent's role in the team. Mm. People just come back and say, as a Rangers attacker, you should be doing X. I don't think it's ever as simple as that. What I've argued is, if you have a front three, as we have now with Sakala, Morelos, Čolak, two of those three, maybe even Tillman, contributing goals, it can almost make up for Kent's lack of goals, but we're never going to get the perfect player who has everything that Kent has, plus is going to score 15, 20 goals a season. I don't think that's accurate. Obviously, you look over the City and people always pull up Lee Alabada. He can't get a game. Like, he doesn't do what they need him to do on the pitch. They prefer someone like maybe a Maeda or a Jota who don't quite get the goals there. It's all about balance, I think. So for me, I think Kent is a very important part, or has been a very important part of the team over the last 3 months, but just looking at pure numbers is a bit of a disservice.
Yeah. Right, let's get to a few more of the points that, are being raised here. Interesting one coming in. Well, Scott Hammond says Sakala is brilliantly frustrating. Yeah, that's eloquently put. And this comment's an interesting one. If a decent bid comes in, 4 million plus, then we take it. Wouldn't be chasing him, though. His numbers are great and he'll be a good impact sub. £4 million for Sakala, would you take that, Adam? I'm not so sure. He does produce numbers, but he is largely frustrating, as a comment, brilliantly frustrating, as Scott mentioned. But £4 million is tempting.
Yeah, I'd be thinking on it of it as maybe just getting to the point where you think about it, I would say. But we need to get better at this. I don't know if I've said it on here before, but I've certainly said it on Heart and Hand. We need to get better at bringing in players for free or a couple of million and then starting to punt them for that 6, 7, 8 million. We can't just sit and expect to have a Calvin Bassey come through the door every 2 years just because we had Nathan Patterson and Calvin Bassey. I think that's unrealistic. So that's a difficult decision there. If Michael Beale sits down and looks at how he wants the attack to play and Fashion Sakala isn't a first pick in that, which is conceivable, I guess, depending on who we want to bring in, then is that £4-5 million something that we can use to then get Tillman or get someone else in there? So that's the interesting part of it, I think, when you start to trade at that sort of mid-millions market. For me, I think I always want to be a bit greedy on this. I'd be saying around about 5 million. People will laugh at that and think there's absolutely no way you can get 5 million for Fashion Sakala. But when you take the whole Rangers perspective and how we magnify things and how we bore down to the nth degree, and if people aren't world beaters, then they're automatically rubbish. That thing that we always do. You look at players who have these numbers and this ability in comparative leagues, and they're going for that amount of money, definitely.
Yeah. Just wanted to touch on a bit of news yesterday, Adam, that was coming out in Mers, that apparently, reports in Turkey, so we can take it with a pinch of salt, but Morelos' agent speaking to Galatasaray. Now, we know he's out of contract at the end of the season. Is that a move you can see him potentially making heading over there? I've got to say, I think it's one I can see. For me, he's an attractive Bosman signing for any club, really. They're getting him on a free. They'll be able to pay him at a decent whack if every week. For me, his numbers are pretty decent as well under Michael Beale, so I can see why clubs would be interested in acquiring him in the summer.
Yeah, I think Galatasaray is one that probably checks out. It tends to be a bit of a graveyard for people who want to go and get big bucks in Turkey, so that one probably checks out. Sevilla one I was a little bit surprised about. I hadn't realised they were quite doing as badly as they are this season, but even then I'm sure it's just a bad patch. I was a bit surprised at that. I didn't think he would fit there in terms of what their ambitions are, but I think Galatasaray seems like a better fit if that's what he's going for.
Yeah, we love a bit of comedy in the morning on the show. Alan says, Turkey, take it with a pinch of salt. I prefer gravy. So, bada boom. I like that, Alan. Right, let's get to interesting point raised by Kev. He says, do you think Tav in the 3-5-2 would enjoy more space out there without someone in front of him closing down the space? An interesting point. I think it would suit the likes of Tav and Ridvan more so than Barisic over on that left-hand side, Adam, at a 3-5-2, if that's something that Michael Beale is looking to adopt. I'd imagine that John Souter would be over on that side alongside Tav. I can see the pair of them linking up really well down that channel, but no one directly in front of him. Do you think that might suit him?
Yeah, I think so. I guess you could argue that ever since Daniel Candace left, it's not really been regular that we've had someone out
Bring
there
as a
natural winger. So I think he's probably had a fair bit of space, but I think as he's getting older as well, playing him that 10, 15 yards a little bit further up the park, giving him less defensive responsibility, which I'm sure everybody would be delighted with, I think makes sense with the kind of comfort blanket that you've got someone like John Souter behind him, who has played in a three at the back at Hearts and is comfortable kind of coming out to the touchline and defending one-on-one there, similar with Ben Davies on the other side to contribute for Yilmaz. So I think that would be quite interesting. And if you can get Tav and Yilmaz, like I said, playing mostly in the opposition's half without worrying about that defensive responsibility, it could just change the way that we attack. We might see less aimless crosses from the edge of the box, and we might end up seeing them more getting in behind and cutting back for chances, which I think is a higher probability of a goal.
Yeah, and just on the back of that as well, there's wrote a piece, we discussed it, I can't remember who it was earlier in the week, about Tillman possibly playing as a centre-forward. Of course, he came on at the weekend, scored against Motherwell, a cracking goal as well. Ross says, what do you think of Tillman as a nine going forward? Covered in Joshua's article earlier this week, Beale seems open to the idea, and you think he has all the attributes to play there for us. Can you see it happening between now and the end of the season, Adam? Is that something you'd like to see? I think he certainly played sporadically a wee bit for Bayern Munich before he came to Rangers. He certainly can finish, the boy. Is he a target man for you?
Yeah, I guess it's how they play it, because Sakala's played as a nine for a fair bit, but you would say he's a different type of nine to Morelos, Colak, even Roof. So I guess it depends how it plays. I could see Tillman sort of playing in that position. He would be a bit better back to goal. Obviously got a bit more finesse, or a lot more finesse on the ball than Sakala. So it's something I could see. He did do it early. Can't remember the exact games, but there was a couple of games before the Old Firm game at New Year where Tillman was up there sort of playing in that Sakala role before he moved him back into that number eight. So he has done it a little bit, but I think it would be more fluid than just a sort of static front two, I think. So again, it would be interesting. He seems to be trying a lot. He seems to be changing his mind, and I'm very surprised he's even entertained the back three, given everything that I've known in the past. So nothing is off the table, clearly, in terms of, if it feels like this 10 games or so, they'll never admit it, obviously, but it feels like this 10 games or so coming up are the ones that they're going to test things for next season, certainly in terms of the domestic season, and just see what works and see what doesn't work.
Yeah, I wanted to get your view as well. We've done a piece on the website yesterday. Joshua looked at the set pieces and how they've improved under Michael Beale, and specifically Harry Watling, the set piece coach. I mean, the numbers are quite dramatic in the Premiership. The XG from set pieces is raised from 0.3 to 0.47, and goals from set pieces almost doubled from 0.33 to 0.64, despite averaging slightly fewer shots as well. It's clear as day that work has been put on the training field, Adam, to improve the numbers, because prior to Beale's arrival, they were deplorable set pieces.
They were. It just makes opposition defenders think. There's nothing that we're doing there that is crazy.
Not revolutionary.
Nothing revolutionary. It's just we'll bring a man out. If it's Kent or whatever, we'll bring him out to stand with Tavernier, and that means the defender needs to bring another man out, and then they've got one less person in the box. And it all just makes a little bit more sense. The outswingers, I don't think, ever really worked. And when you've got Barisic out there doing an outswinger, you know exactly where it's going to go. You can telegraph that quite easily. They'll just mark Goldson, basically, and that's it done. But if you're potentially, as we've done, what was it, 20% of them are short corners anyway, but if you're at least bringing Kent over there or bringing Cantwell over there to ask the question, then these marginal gains, I think, are key. We've seen, I think it was against Hearts, we've seen a couple of proper set piece moves, which was really good. But other than that, I don't think it's been massively different to what other teams do. It's just about getting us back up to that standard, and it's been great. I think Goldson's now on three goals since Beale came in. That might even be three for the season, to be honest, which shows you how poor it was before that. So more of that, really, as Rangers centre halves, you should be, I think, aiming for five goals each from set pieces. I don't think that's too much of a disservice, given we get what, 15-20 crosses, 15 corners or so a game.
Yeah, but just talking about that variation, I mean, Rangers took 123 corners under Van Bronckhorst in the league before he was sacked. 76% of those were outswingers, 20% were short, and just 4% were in-swingers. Since Beale's come in, they've taken 86 corners, 70% have been in-swingers, 10% outswingers, and the remaining 20% short attempts. So the numbers laid bare.
You know what I liked about that, though? The only reason there was 10% outswingers was because Barisic was at the World Cup and Tavernier took them on both sides. So I think it's clear to see we're not going to have outswingers at all. I remember under Van Bronckhorst, was it the Red Star game at Ibrox? We did two set pieces out of nowhere. I think Morelos scored, and I can't remember who scored the other one. And it was just, again, quite simple, just changing the angle, getting the ball into the box, someone running off the back post. And it just never happened again. I don't know why. It was that one game, and we were like, "Oh, this is new." And then just back to those kind of straightforward outswingers on the other side.
Yeah, Kev says all those corners in the St Johnston game, Derek. I remember that. There's about 95 corners in the first 10 minutes of that game, wasn't it? At McDermott Park, dark days. Let's not recall that one, that's for sure. Lots of interesting other points coming in. One directed at you, Adam, from Matt Weir. Adam, you reckon we'll see game time for Leon King? And where do you see him fitting in the squad moving forward?
Yeah, I think Michael Beale said the other week, didn't he, that he's probably got too much game time, I think, in the opening parts of the season. So I'm not sure if he's just giving him a deliberate breather. I know he was sick for a little bit for a couple of games, and then maybe he's had a bit of an injury. I don't know. I would have expected to even see him a little bit more than we have. Be interesting to see how that works out. I know Michael Beale likes defenders, like physical defenders, yeah. And King isn't quite at that yet. He's tall, but maybe he just needs to add a little bit more bulk. But he is quick, he's good on the ball, and I think positionally he's quite decent. I would like to see him just have another season the same as he had, but maybe spread the game time out a little bit less dramatically than, what was it, 20 appearances before Halloween pretty much, and then pretty much nothing since. So another season like that coming in and getting 20, 25 appearances for King, I think would be good. But where I see him fitting in moving forward, again, he's had a bit of a hard time because he's played left back, right back in a 2 and a 3, I think, for us probably. So it's been quite a strange start for him. I think I would just like to see him, if it's in a back three, just playing as that kind of rotation with John Souter for a couple of appearances. I think that would be quite good. If it's not in a back three, then with Davies, Goldson and Souter, you're probably looking at injuries, etc., before he does get a chance to come in. But he looks comfortable on that left-hand side as well. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I would be surprised if he's not part of the five, if you like, centre-backs that we go in with next season, assuming we sign one more, which I think is the plan.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, Jonathan Panzo of Nottingham Forest linked with Rangers yesterday. He's on loan at Coventry City. I think it's no secret that Michael Beale is looking to add at least one more central defender. And it'll be interesting to see if Leon King is part of the squad next season. Gary Gray says, what's your thoughts on getting King, Devine and Lowry out on loan next season? They'll need to get 30-plus games a season now. Not entirely sure I agree with that, Adam, but I know they need to get game time. Where would be a good team for them to go to? I think I wrote a piece last week where I said King, for me, if he's not getting much minutes at Rangers, they really need to be looking down south in Championship or even League One. There's a lot of big teams in League One, and I think that would do him the world of good. Not just that, playing-wise, but moving away from home and the growing up sort of stuff. Devine and Lowry, are they in the same boat as King, do you think, Adam?
No, I don't think so. Lowry, I don't know, it would be a pretty good test to go and try and get a team in the bottom of the Championship or the top of League One and get them going. But Flair players that we send down there don't exactly do great, I don't think. So I think that's an interesting one here, whether SPFL is better for him, I'm not too sure. Devine, I haven't really seen a huge amount to comment, to be honest. I don't think he fits what we would want in terms of a fullback, how he's going forward, how he delivers, how his numbers are going to be, just from what I've seen so far. So maybe that's one that we just keep him around again, get him in a bit of a rotation there. We've also got Zukowski, whether he's coming back, whether that's someone that Michael Beale liked from before, and it may be that he might come back in and get a chance in the summer. I don't know. We've all kind of forgotten about him, but he was decently rated before he joined us, and it's just never really happened for him. So we've got him there as well. If he comes back and we want to give him some game time, or we want to bring someone else in to compete with Tavernier, then Devine might see an opportunity to go out for a season. Yeah,
Roddy Fraser says get Devine in the team as right back position.
You're in the wrong house here, Roddy.
Yeah. It's not a fan of Tav there. Denzel with a good point. He says Lowry would be better going out on loan in Europe to hone his skills. It'll be an interesting one come the summer, what happens with these young lads. But they certainly need to be playing games. Roy McCrory is another one, Adam, that springs to mind. It's a bit of a crossroads for him come the summer. I think it's evident Rangers need to buy a goalkeeper in the summer, a first team goalie, perhaps even two goalkeepers. Where does that leave Robbie McCrory for you? We've not really had much evidence of seeing if he's able to take over from Alan McGregor, apart from those two games. What was that, more than a year and a half ago now? But where does his future lie, do you think?
I think the manager quite likes him. I think he's felt like he's a little bit frustrated that he's had that injury. I'm not sure how far away he is, but again, I think that'll be part of that experimentation that we see in the league over the coming weeks and months, you would hope. I didn't think it was a long injury. If memory serves me right, it was maybe about a month ago. I know we tend to extend these given the medical department just now, but I would hope we would at least start to see him in squads next month, and maybe get him some game time and see what he can do. But he has signed that contract, so he will definitely be there next season, you would think, along with John McLaughlin. I think that's fine. If probably McCrory is happy to stay, then fair enough. If the manager wants to throw him in as the first choice right away, I don't know, that would be probably quite risky, but we did it with McGregor 20 years ago. Yep. So if that's the decision they take, then fair enough. But I haven't seen huge amounts of him really to confirm, but he feels like maybe a mix of both in terms of maybe the most modern goalkeeper out of the three. But whether he's at the right level quality wise, I'm not sure. I still think we'll bring in someone else. I think he'll want three anyway. I don't think he'll be going next season with just McLaughlin and McCrory.
Yeah, just touched on McGregor. We've got the late Billy Thompson to thank for his chance in the Rangers side. He told me back in the day that Paul Le Guin, of course, we can remember, Lino Letizia was his number one, and he brought him back in, even though Alan was doing well against Inverness, had a howler, and then he said to Billy, yeah, you were right, Billy, you need to put Alan back in, and then the rest is history, as they say. Interesting points coming in. So this one here, Dyer Mabudi, looks like he's developing well. Would have been great to have been able to keep hold of him, of course, brother of Dapo. Yeah, he's doing well down at Manchester City in Scotland as well, Dyer. So, yeah, good to see him doing well, but he's just one of those ones, I think. If a youngster is doing well, we've seen it recently with Rory Wilson when he was coming through the ranks at Rangers, and then bigger fish, unfortunately, are able to offer him life-changing sums of money in Aston Villa, and then he's went down the road. So, yeah, he certainly is doing well as Dyer. This is another question posed at you, Adam, from Andrew Stewart. Adam, if you're Beal and you're playing a 3-5-2 from middle to front, how does your team look?
I guess it depends what type of game, but say for Dundee United, for example, coming up. The video that we did a couple of weeks back was talking about it being a sort of possession-based formation rather than that sort of three at the back that we used under Van Bronckhorst in Europe, etc. So if I was doing that, I think we know what the sort of back five would be, with Tav and Yilmaz on the wings, Davies, Goldson and Suter as the defence. I would be inclined, given you've got Davies and Suter in there as a bit of an insurance policy, I'd be inclined to kind of just go with Raskin, Cantwell and Tillman in the middle. And then I guess the striker part is where it's up for debate, because there's only really two options. There's only really two spaces there, and we've got a few strikers. Does Kenton Sakala work as a front two? I'd be very surprised. So there's someone that probably does need to miss out there. If I was pushing, I would say probably Morelos and Kent at the minute in there. Obviously, if Cantwell or Tillman maybe aren't playing or aren't available, then Sakala would come in. But I think in terms of playing at home against a team that are going to sit in and be bottom of the league, that would be what I would be going for. Morelos and Kent up top with Raskin, Cantwell and Tillman in the middle.
Yeah, interesting. I think mine should be pretty much similar to yours, Adam. Just this point from Dave Fulton: is a Legends game on Sunday being televised, Derek? It's not actually on, it's broadcast live. However, you can stream it on Rangers TV's online schedule. Details, I don't know if they've been confirmed as yet. Last year's match, however, was available in pay-per-view for £5.99. So if you go onto the Rangers TV website, you should be able to stream the game from there, Dave. So, yeah, you will be able to watch it on Sunday. Are you heading along to the game on Sunday, Adam, at all? Or, what do you make of the players that are returning to Ibrox?
I'm not going to the game. I'm going away for the weekend. Yeah, it's always the case with these things, isn't it, that there's a few interesting legends on it. I think it'll be a good day. I went to the last one, I'm sure. I'm not going along to this one, but yeah, I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Listen, I went last year as well, and it was absolutely brilliant watching Figo and Kaká and the likes take to the field. And not just that, I mean, Van Bronckhorst looked like he could still play as well.
That's right, yeah.
And Arvelazzi with that diving header. It's a good day out. If you're heading along to Ibrox, folks, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Right, just before we wrap up, we need to pick the best question of the morning for the lucky person head over to the Scotland game tomorrow. Is there anyone that springs out to you, Adam, at all?
I'm going to defer to you, Derek. You're in charge, so yeah, I'm going to defer to you. You've seen them all.
That's fair. I did like Brucey Fraser's point. Who has it better here, Cantwell or Joshua? Listen, I'm going to go with that one. Brucey, if you are free tomorrow and you want to head over to the Scotland game, then please, if you're on Twitter, DM the Rangers Review Twitter account with your details, and we'll get that ticket sorted for you. If you're not on Twitter, if you pop your email address on the chat, DM me. Well, if you're not on Twitter, that's no point, is it? But yeah, listen, we're on Facebook as well. If you want to DM us there, if you're on Facebook, with your details, and we'll send you that ticket, get it sorted for you, so you can go and watch Scotland against Cyprus. If you've got no interest going to the game, then we've got a problem. Yeah, Brucey, you are the winner of that Scotland ticket, so please get in touch. Right, folks, that'll do us here. Big thanks to Adam, as ever, for joining us. Just a reminder, if you want to win those two Director's Box tickets for the match against Dundee United on the 1st of April, you have until 5 p.m. To sign up to the Rangers Review. So head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe for all the details. Just £1 for 3 months worth of content, and you get entered into that draw. Okay, we'll be back again on Monday, but until then, enjoy your Friday and the rest of your